Well, it's been another hot week. People have been asked to try not to use their hose pipes and just to think more carefully about the amount of water they're using. And so consequently, the gardens are looking a bit more beigey brown than green. In our little close, all the grass is beigey, this beigey browny colour, apart from one house that has luscious green grass. We know what they've been doing. We all know that we all need water to survive. I don't know how true it is, but I read about a criminal who was on the run and gave himself up because he was thirsty. The police had apparently surrounded this man so that the options of getting away were no longer possible. The police used their wisdom when it came to capturing him, and they offered him a bottle of water. He took them up on the offer and so came out of his hiding place. Yes, he got arrested, but he had his thirst quenched. There are many different kinds of water, of course. There's distilled water, spring water, well water, purified water, mineral water, sparkling water, hard water, boiled water, filtered water, soft water, snow water, rain water, salt water. I'm just going to have a drink of water. Am I making you thirsty yet? In our Bible reading today, Jesus talked about water. But he did not refer to any of these kinds of water. He named a different water. He spoke of living water. And I don't know about you, but I don't recall seeing this kind of water in Tesco's or any other kind of shop. So can anyone acquire this water? Where do we have to go to purchase this living water? Is it available to each of us? Sounds like good water to me. Of course, we won't find the living water in the supermarket because, of course, it's given by God and not by a producer or maker here on earth. We can't twist a lid and take a drink. We can't turn on the tap and fill a glass. We can't draw it from a well. It will not satisfy our physical thirst, but it will satisfy a thirsty soul. And this living water is available to anyone who wants a right relationship with God. People who have the right desire to obtain the living water. For those in a right relationship with God, that living water is this Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And for a few moments, we're going to look at what that means for us in light of the story of this Samaritan woman. So Jesus was on his way from Judea to Galilee. His mission was to spread the word. Now, to get to Galilee, the most straightforward route was through Samaria. But this was a problem if you were a Jew. You see, the Jews from Judea despised those from Samaria. The people who lived in Samaria were considered half-breeds because when the land was taken captive by the Assyrians in 722 BC, the Assyrians repopulated the area with a mix of many different people. The Jews who were left in Samaria began to intermarry and began to include aspects of other religions within theirs. Since the Jews of Judea despised the Samaritans when they had to travel to Galilee and areas further north, they would not pass through Samaria. Instead, they would go to the Jordan River, cross it, and travel along the river until they passed the town of Salim. Then they would begin to cross over the river. To show how much hatred existed between these people by taking the alternative route, in essence, extended their trip from a 3-day journey to a 7-day journey. So that's like being in Scotland, you're the Scottish, and you get on a ferry to Northern Ireland, you travel down to Southern Ireland, you get on the ferry to North Wales in order to get to Cardiff without stepping foot in England. Now, with that in mind, we can understand why this woman was a bit uncertain about engaging with Jesus in any way. And then on top of that, we discover what's been going on in this woman's life. She's had 5 husbands and 5 divorces and is living with a 6th man and who knows how many other men she's been with. John tells us that it was about noon. That was not the time women usually come to the well to gather water. The normal time was the early morning or the evening when the weather was cooler. But this woman didn't come when all the other women did, when they would gather their water and talk to one another. This woman was an outcast. And she was despised by all the other women in Sychar. No woman who considered herself respectful would have associated with her. When they saw her walking along the street, they would probably have crossed to the other side. So why did Jesus go through Samaria, and why did he speak to this woman? I believe that Jesus went through that way because he knew there was work to be done in the name of his Father. When this woman came to the well at such an unusual time, he knew what that was all about. He just knew. And I love also this suggestion that Jesus didn't want to embarrass her in any way in front of the disciples, so he sent them into town to buy food. Jesus wanted to meet this woman on a one-to-one basis, but he was risking a lot by reaching out to her, not following the social norms of the day. The real truth is that Jesus did not have a problem with talking to anyone. He had a message to spread that would bring life to those who would listen and accept his word, whoever, whatever. Jesus didn't care about the woman's race, her color, her creed, or anything else about her in that way. He never let social status interfere with his relationship with people, which is a good reminder for us all today. Many of us get hung up on where people live, who they work for, the big house they live in, the car they drive, what team they support, the degrees behind their name, the sinful actions perhaps they've done in their life, or a host of other issues. Jesus just wanted to share his message with all who would listen. You and I need to follow Jesus' example. And so they engaged in a conversation in which Jesus started off by asking the woman to give him a drink. And that conversation would change her life forever. He gave her a hint that she was not just talking to a weary stranger, but this was the Messiah. And if she understood that, she would have most certainly asked Jesus for his living water straight away. But this question confused her. For starters, she couldn't figure out how Jesus was going to get his own water. That well had been measured to be over 100 feet deep. And when people traveled, they carried containers so that they could get water out of a well. But Jesus didn't have one. Again, Jesus offered her living water, saying, "Everyone who drinks from this well will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst." Once again, she didn't understand what Jesus was getting at. Even when he said, "The water I give you will become like a spring of water welling up to eternal life," she still was lost. And what he was saying to her was that when we turn from God and begin to live worldly, we are giving up the living water. Our souls will soon get thirsty. We'll try to satisfy the thirsty souls by accumulating worldly possessions or unhealthy habits and a host of other worldly things that do not satisfy the thirsty soul. In this woman's case, she could not find satisfaction in any of her relationships. She kept repeatedly going back looking for a new love. And I'm sure that each time she hoped that it would be the last time searching for someone to be the love of her life. Jesus told this woman that her thirst could not be quenched because she was drinking the wrong water. God is ready to refresh us with the right water, the living water, just as he indicated to the Samaritan woman. Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you the living water." The woman saw this Jew at the well as a poor, tired, worn-out traveler. She missed Jesus' point when he said this. He was saying he's the Messiah, but the woman did not understand the gift of God was the greatest gift of love God had to offer, and Jesus was there ready to give her it. The woman did not know the fountain of living water was hidden within Jesus. All she had to do was ask for a drink from him. There are people today who are like the Samaritan woman. They do not understand or care to understand the gift God offers us, or they make known what his word says, but because they cannot see anything visible, they tend to not believe his promises. But when we do ask for that living water, the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in our life, changing us forever. Rosie, Katie, and I are not very good at drinking water. And each day I fill up our water bottles and we have this competition to see who can drink the most in the day. The aim, of course, is to finish the bottle by the end of the day. Now, sometimes we're not very good at drinking the bottle and we forget it and it stays in our bag for a while. And when I go to fill them the next day, it doesn't smell very nice. It smells very stagnant, the water. Not something I'd really fancy drinking. But you see, this living water that Jesus is talking about here is not like that. It's constant running and fresh and tasty. But also, although this water that we drink daily satisfies our physical thirst, the water we drink does not satisfy our spiritual thirst. The Samaritan woman did not understand these parallel functions. We take care of our physical thirst and our hunger, and we need to take care of our spiritual thirst and hunger as well. And we do this by the living word, Jesus Christ, through the written word, the Bible. The woman still did not understand because she said to Jesus, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't go thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." She wanted this water because it would make her life much easier. Her trips to the well would be cut back. Her time would be used in other ways. She thought only of how it would quench her physical thirst. Of course, the woman thought Jesus was speaking about some sort of magical water that would quench her physical thirst forever. But aren't we sometimes like that woman? When we turn to Jesus, we want him to take away our physical ailments and shortcomings. We want him to top up our bank account and guarantee a pain-free life. For we think that's the biggest challenge we have. Not so. Jesus told the woman to come back with her husband. He wanted to prick her conscience to realize that sin was the biggest problem in her life. Jesus used the living water to bring the woman's attention to her sinful lifestyle. After speaking to her about this, Jesus indicated that a change needed to be made in her life. The change would be very difficult for her because her life had been grounded in her present lifestyle. The kind of change he was talking about is when the Holy Spirit convicts us to adjust our lives and behavior in a way where we might hesitate, because usually it means a drastic modification to the foundations or base of our life. That very same thing happens to us all as well. When we live outside God's standards and guidelines, it becomes the basis of our lives. If you drink from the stagnant water of sin, then you'll always come away thirsty. But the way to find true freedom from sin is to drink in the living water, the water that Jesus has to give. All this woman had to do was trade the stagnant water of the world for the living water of Jesus Christ. The first step of getting freedom from the sin is simply replacing that sin with the things of God. That habitual sin that you have quit a million times but keep going back to must be laid to rest at the altar of Jesus and left there. Most of the time, it's not perhaps whether we can let go of those sins, but instead it has to do with our own willingness to let go of those sins. It's often difficult to accept the change. The woman didn't immediately accept Jesus as the Messiah. In fact, she said, "I know that the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will tell us all things." But the Holy Spirit will step in and give us the resources we need to make the change. I believe that. I wonder today, what water are you drinking from this morning? The stagnant water or the life-giving water? After the Samaritan woman drank of the living water that Jesus gave her, she went back into town. However, did you notice it said she left her water pot with Jesus? She left her water pot with Jesus. Can you leave the stagnant water of your life with Jesus? Or do you keep trying to take it back? We can learn to leave the stagnant water behind and drink from the living water that Jesus offers us that will always quench our thirst. And we can start doing this by simply asking for that draft of the water of life. And so as we take a few moments of reflection and response perhaps right now, let me ask you again, what water are you drinking from this morning? What water are you drinking from? Is it the stagnant water? Is it a cup like that, full of stones? Or is it this life-giving water? This life-giving water that Jesus has to give. And so just in the quietness, I'm just going to ask for that song to be played again. And for you to have a time of reflection. And respond if you need to come and take a draft of the water of life this morning. But just allow the Lord to speak to you in the quietness as the music plays, and respond if you need to.
so as we sing this chorus together, may it be our prayer that we, believing, find indeed that Christ is the water of life. May you find that change this week. May you find that refreshment this week. Sing this chorus as our prayer just now. Let me pray with you. Jesus, we come to you at the well from all walks and seasons of life, from all circumstances and in every mood. Some of us are eager, curious. Some of us are defensive and worried. Some of us are tired or lonely. But we are thankful you're here right now. Please be gracious and kind as we have poured out our stories. Hear our grief. Know our joy, receive our questions, and if necessary, clean our cups. We still have not learned to be satisfied by your abundance. Pour out life for us yet again and renew us by your mercy. Amen. Amen.